Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. I want to share a pet peeve of mine. Now, this is going to sound kind of crazy, I know, but I don't like it when people talk to dead people. You say, what in the world are you talking about today? Who talks to dead people? I mean, we're not talking about a seance or some gathering where they try to conjure up a dead person, are we? No, I'm talking about the much more common reality of people addressing dead people. And I certainly don't want to offend you if you have done this, or if you have a loved one that where this has happened. I don't think many people really think about what they're doing, but I'm talking about two occasions, and this comes up a bunch. The first occasion is a funeral. Now, I'm in the Atlanta area in Georgia where I serve, and so we kind of have a Southern style funeral. I've been to funerals in other places and other parts of the country as well. There's a lot of similarities. There are some differences, but I have found it to be relatively common that people, kind of as they're giving a eulogy, will lean over, maybe if they're at the pulpit or whatever, and they lean over and look down to the coffin, and they finish their comments celebrating some of the great things about this person with a personal address to the person in the casket. Now, this is even when the casket is shut. But I'm saying if the casket's open, that person's not there. That soul or spirit is separated from their body. They ain't hearing anything that you are saying. And I actually think that even though the sentiment and the heart behind it is perfectly appropriate, I think that it's not a good message. It's not a good thing to do to address the dead person because they're not there and they're not hearing you. And I don't know that the Lord passes the messages on, you know. Obviously, if the person is in heaven with the Lord, the Lord hears what you're saying, but the person does not. Where's the other place that we see it? I see it on social media. And there again, I know the heart behind it is fine, but I do not believe that the social media accounts go all the way to heaven. And so when people kind of put tributes up to people that have passed away, and they put it not just by way of saying nice things about my loved one that I miss, but they address the person, telling them how much they love them, telling them how much they miss them, I don't think that's the right, that's not the right thing to do, technically, right? I want to just keep saying technically, because I don't doubt the heart behind it at all. And I think that if we asked the person to think about what was being done or what was being said and to say, do you think that this person is hearing you? I'm pretty sure for the most part, unless they're completely swept up in the sentimentality of the event, they would acknowledge, no, there's no communication going on. But that does lead us to an interesting thing to consider. Because on Integrated, we try to take the truths from God's Word and see how they fit into our lives. How do they integrate into our lives? And I want to ask a question that I think a lot of us maybe have asked or maybe haven't really considered in detail, and it is, where do dead people go? When a person is dead, what is actually going on? And, you know, I think people just have different concepts. I think for the most part, people would acknowledge, okay, they're not there. A lot of people say that at funerals, right? I know that they're not there anymore. And yet you see the body that is there, if it's an open casket or a visitation or something like that. And yet they realize that the person is not there. Well, what does that mean? The Bible teaches that we are made up of two parts. We have the physical part, our bodies, and then we have the immaterial part, which is our spirit or our soul. By the way, that reminds me. Someone years ago told me that, you know what, you know how cells in your body regenerate? You know, old dead cells kind of, you know, are discarded and new cells are being created. And that is the case throughout your entire life. So that, I think they said, don't quote me on this, but every 7 years, every cell in your body is different than it was 7 years before. So isn't that an interesting thought? I mean, we're used to thinking of a little bit of old cells dying, new cells coming, but every 7 years, you are a completely different body than you were 7 years ago. And you may say, yeah, I know, I'm not liking this model as well as I did the one 7 years ago. But here's the interesting twist on that. You're still you. Yeah, those cells are, you know, regenerating based on your DNA and based on the coding that God has put in your bodies to make you you. But if that's the case, that there's not one cell of you that is the same from 7 years ago, who's the you? I mean, I still remember things from beyond 7 years ago. I know I'm still me. So what is that like? Anyway, the point they would be trying to make, the person who was telling me this, is your soul or your spirit, the immaterial part of you, and really they're the same, right? Yes, you're embodied. You're an embodied soul, but that's the you, right? It's not just your physical limb. Like if for some reason you had to have a body part amputated, you would still be you. You wouldn't be, 85.3% you. No, you're still you, even if you lost your legs or that kind of thing. Because you is the spiritual part that lasts forever. So what happens when the person dies? Well, let me take us to a couple of scriptures to consider what the Bible tells us about the intermediate state. And I'll tell you why we call it that in just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed, by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. All right, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10 has a lot to say about the intermediate state. We can just make some observations. It doesn't answer every question we could come up with, but we teach us some things. When we're separated, when our soul / spirit is separated from our body, it is like we are naked. So Paul says, you know, yeah, it's you're still you. You're still living and thinking, and you still know what's going on. You still have your memories, but you're naked. So you're not just floating somewhere. You are in a specific place, right? You don't just become one with the universe. No, it's still you. You still are a cognizant person, but you are incomplete. You are naked. You are groaning, right? You might think, well, groaning is what happens before I die. But there is another sense in which there's a groan of anticipation after we die so that we would be further clothed, it says. Okay, we have to take a break. I know we're right here at the good part, making observations. But after we come back, we'll continue to consider what the Bible says about people after they die.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment. Hey, I tell you what, listening to Dr. Kratz talk about funerals and social media posts like that, it got me thinking. I've seen that too. And you know, that's the kind of stuff Dr. Kratz does in here. He takes something you've probably seen 100 times and he flips it around so you can't unsee it anymore. That's exactly what we're about here at Fortis Institute. This isn't just put some verses on it content. It's thoughtful, it's biblical, and it's connected to your real life. Exactly the kind of thing that you're going to find all over Fortis Plus. If you've never checked it out, Fortis Plus is our free app. Totally free. There's no sign up on your card. We don't even ask for your card. There's no free trial that's going to run out in 7 days. No unlock premium button. Nothing like that. It's just there. Hundreds of hours of audio and video content from the voices that you've been hearing on Integrated and our other podcasts. And we're adding new content every single day. And you've got it in your pocket anywhere you go with the Fortis Plus app. Just search Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps, or you can go to fortisplus.org. And the only reason that exists, the only reason you're hearing Integrated right now, is because of our gospel partners, folks that believe that this kind of content needs to be free and available for anyone who wants it. They're not giant corporations. They're not sponsors telling us to water things down. These are normal people, people just like you, who say, you know what, I want to stand with you on this. So here's my ask. If you're already faithfully giving to your local church, and that is priority number one, and you're in a place that you could come alongside of us and you could link arms with us, would you pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? That's how we're able to continue to produce Integrated and Fortis Plus and everything we do, and keep it out there absolutely free. All the details about joining us as a gospel partner are available right now at fortisinstitute.org, and you can see exactly what it means, how it works, and what it would look like in your life to join us. And while you're there, seriously, grab Fortis Plus. Download it today, start scrolling through, and see exactly how much is actually waiting on you right now. All right, now let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. Today on Integrated, we've been talking about the intermediate state. In other words, what happens to a person after they die? No, they can't hear you when you talk to them on social media. No, they can't hear you when you address them directly at a funeral or hear them addressed. No, they aren't there. They are separated. Their spirit / soul is separated from their bodies. And the Bible says they're still going on. They still have memories. They still are in one place, right? But they are unclothed from their bodies. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says there's actually a sense of that, a groaning, a longing to be further clothed, it says, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. What would we be longing for? We would be longing for the full and final state when our bodies are resurrected and glorified and reunited with our spirits. So your physical body, which, as we said, as we learned, is different every 7 years because of cell regeneration, your body is not over and done at the end of your earthly life. There is a future resurrection, and heaven is going to be a physical, tangible place made for glorified bodies. And also, hell is also a place for glorified bodies reunited with their spirits. So there is even a physical element of hell. It's not just a different dimension or some kind of symbolic suffering. It is a place where sinners go to pay for their own sins if they choose to reject the free offer of eternal life given by Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross in the place of sinners, and God raised him from the dead so that sinners who believe in him don't perish. They don't get sent away, separated from God's goodness and his kindness, his very presence there in hell. And that's not where we want to be. Instead, Jesus offered to die in the place of sinners. He did die in the place of sinners and offers sinners free forgiveness and pardon and righteousness for all who believe in him. So that's what we're saying, though, is when a Christian dies, they have a sense, there's a separation of the spirit and the body, and they have a sense that it's incomplete. So this intermediate state is incomplete. What else do we see from this passage? We know that it's also where Jesus is. He says in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 5, yes, we are of good courage. We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we're still going to be with the Lord. He even goes on to say, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. So we're going to be having the opportunity to please the Lord. We're going to be where Jesus is. So where is this intermediate state? I mean, you could call it heaven or a form of heaven. It's not the full final form of heaven, which is going to be like the resurrection of the earth to the new heavens and the new earth fitted for our resurrected bodies when Jesus comes back and we're reunited with our spirit and bodies back together again. Is there anywhere else in the Bible where we might get some insight about this intermediate state? One place is Philippians chapter 1. Now, we're very familiar with the verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So Paul's writing the Philippians from Roman prison. Paul thought there was a pretty good chance he would die in prison. His life was on the line as he was going to go and appear before Nero to plead his case. And so he was kind of going back and forth. Am I going to live or am I going to die? Either way, I'm all about Jesus Christ. But he goes on in verse 22 to say, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. All right, for our purposes now, we just want to see that if Paul departs, that is, leaves his flesh, meaning he dies, what's going to happen? He's going to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. It brings more of Paul to Jesus, more of Jesus to Paul. It's better in every way. Now, if Paul believed in something called soul sleep, where the body dies and the spirit just goes to sleep until Jesus comes back so that it seems like you're just taking a nap, Jesus comes back and you wake back up. I don't think Paul would have had this dilemma, because in every way, it would have been better to have a longer life here on earth, to do more ministry, to bear more fruit for the Lord, to try to live for his glory and see the kingdom expand as the gospel is being preached all over the known world at the time. That's better than taking a nap for what is now almost 2,000 years. So Paul says, no, it's better to depart and to be with Jesus. So that gives us more insight. Yes, when someone dies, their spirit is separated from their body. If they're a believer in Jesus, they go to be with Jesus at that very instant. Someone has said, when we close our eyes in death, we open them to Jesus. That is a precious thought for the death of a believer. I also think about the story of the thief on the cross. That gives us another little nugget of truth, confirmation, if you will. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 38, as he's telling about the crucifixion, he says, then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And people were mocking Jesus on the cross. And it says in verse 44, and the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. But we know from Luke's account that didn't remain the case, right? Jesus was on the cross for six long, excruciating hours, torturous way to die. And those criminals, one of them had a change of tune, a change of heart while they were on the cross. The way Luke puts it, he says in Luke 23, 32, two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Later on in this account, verse 39, one of the criminals who was hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Wow, this is a great story of grace. If you ever wonder if you're saved by faith plus works or faith alone, the thief on the cross is a good indicator that we are saved by faith alone, because that guy didn't have any time to do good works. I mean, he did testify, right? He did rebuke the other criminal for mocking him. Apparently, both were mocking him at first. This man believed Jesus was the right man. He was coming to the kingdom, and he had the power to spiritually save him forever. And we just draw our attention to that last line, right? Jesus says, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That thief, we're going to see him in heaven. And you're going to see him perhaps even the day you die, because you also will be with Jesus in paradise. This is the intermediate state. It's kind of like temporary heaven, this state of paradise. And we'll be there with Jesus, glorifying him, pleasing him, maybe even with some jobs to do. And when Jesus comes back to earth, we will be with him. Our bodies will be resurrected and joined with with their bodies and spirits, our body and spirit back together again. And we will forever be with the Lord, fitted for heaven on earth, to be with Christ forever. What a glorious thing for us to meditate on the intermediate state. Now, this is a great thing to know about, but let it be an encouragement and a comfort to you as this week you do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.